Robin Gagnon.
And I'm Eric Gagnon, and we sell restaurants. We started the nation's largest restaurant brokerage firm, We Sell Restaurants, over a decade ago. You can find us online at WeSellRestaurants.com.
And that's not all. We're also on your radio once a week with topics that are trending in the restaurant industry. You can tweet your questions while we're on the air to our Twitter handle. We're at Sell Restaurants. Post to our Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/WeSellRestaurants. If we don't get to your questions, we'll follow up on social media.
Our goal is to satisfy your appetite for acquisition, feed the need for restaurant reality, and serve up a recipe for business success. If you have any ideas or any questions about the show, I'd love to hear from you. My email is Eric, E-R-I-C, at WeSellRestaurants.com.
Today, the restaurant brokers are talking to the Women's Franchise Network. Led by the International Franchise Association, the Women's Franchise Network is a network of local chapters designed to develop relationships with women franchising professionals by addressing issues, sharing ideas, and offering solutions related to franchising. The WFN Atlanta chapter welcomes women franchisors, franchisees, franchise suppliers, and those considering franchising. And on that note, Eric, who's our first guest?
Our first guest today is Clarissa Bradstock. As a CEO of AnyLab Test now, Clarissa is proud to lead the franchisees in their goal of providing an exceptional experience for our customers interested in clinical toxicology and DNA testing. In addition, Clarissa is the vice chair of the Southeastern Franchise Forum and on the IFA Women's Franchise Network Committee and the chair for the Atlanta chapter of the Women's Franchise Network. Clarissa, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, and our next guest is Lauren Fernandez. Lauren is the founder of the Fernandez Company, the culmination of over a decade of practice as a trusted brand consultant and legal advisor with all kinds of clients, from startups to multinational companies. She consults with companies in all aspects of restaurant and franchise development, brand licensing, product development, and market implementation. Lauren focuses her practice on regulated industry, particularly in the food and drug space. Before forming the Fernandez Company, Lauren served as general counsel for Focus Brands, where she was instrumental in the rapid growth of the licensing program. Prior to joining Focus, she was part of an elite team at Novartis Ciba Vision that successfully launched the company's first new product in over a decade. She started her career in one of Atlanta's most respected, intellectual property boutiques, Gardner Groff, and she serves on the Women's Franchise Network Atlanta Division Executive Board. Lauren, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to complete our panel today, we have Debbie Schwitz. Debbie is a graduate from the University of Washington with a degree in psychology. Debbie spent 10 years before Nothing But Cake working in multi-level marketing, insurance, and medical transcribing. In 1997, her friend and business partner, Dina Tripp, and herself conceptualized and launched Nothing But Cakes. They decided to franchise in 2006, and Debbie's roles were in the development of the franchise system structure, sales development, and franchisee relations. Today, they have over 130 locations, with another 50 to follow shortly.
She's also the chair of the Women's Franchise Network at the national level. Debbie, we are so pleased to have you with us today.
Robin and Eric, thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Great. Well, let's just kick this off. And Debbie, why don't you take the reins first and tell us a little bit about how you see the vision of the Women's Franchise Network in action at the national level, and then we'll ask Lauren and Clarissa to weigh in from Atlanta.
I'd be happy to. So the Women's Franchise Committee is an organization that's a sub-organization to the International Franchise Association, and we have a group of about 20 to 25 women who get together on a monthly basis and discuss issues in franchising, how we can better mentor other women in the franchising world and in the business world. And we also put on an annual conference that happens the day before the International Franchise Association show. So we're very busy and interested in furthering the careers of women in franchising. We're kind of a small group, although we have certainly grown over the past few years. And one of the greatest ways that we reach out to women is through the Women's Franchise Network. And Clarissa's done a great job in Atlanta and is also really instrumental in leading us down the path of what those individual networks need. So we have about 20 different markets that we're working in with a women's franchise network group. And we provide from the Women's Franchise Committee guidance, topics, and this year I'm really excited to say that we are going to coordinate an effort in October with Dressed for Success and see if we can't get some kind of a national movement going and, of course, utilize social media and see what kind of a difference we can really make all together.
Great. Leslie, you want to add to that?
Oh, yeah. It's been great working with the national level, with the Women's Franchise Committee, just a terrific group of women that are out there promoting franchising and also encouraging more women to take executive roles and executive levels in franchising. And then at the Atlanta level, we're just real excited because, as you know, the Atlanta market has a tremendous amount of franchisors, and we think that there is definitely a need where we're reaching out to get women more involved and also, as Debbie said, really mentoring women in franchising and also getting the word out for different groups of folks that are interested in franchising, just as Robin had mentioned. So it's an exciting time to be in franchising, and it's just excellent to be a part of this wonderful group.
So, Lauren, I heard a great word from both of these women, which was the word mentoring. And I know in your career, which has been amazing in the short amount of years you've been on Earth, you have really done some great things. And you have both been a mentor and a mentee. So how does the Women's Franchise Network encompass that idea from your perspective?
I really think that this is a wonderful organization to cement what I hope women do for each other everywhere, not just in corporate America, but in their lives and supporting the ambitions and goals of women. And in doing so, the Women's Franchise Network really is a wonderful place, not just to continue to promote franchising and the wonderful industry that it is, but also to really further the dreams and aspirations of women in our industry. And I really have experienced, since really focusing my career in franchising these last 4 years, really just such an outpouring of support, not just from other women, but other executives in the industry. And, you know, if not us, who? If not now, when? And it's a wonderful way for us to, on a monthly and regular basis, check in as a group and make sure that we're doing things to promote other women. And I can't say enough about how great it's been to be a part of this organization in the Atlanta chapter.
That's great information. Debbie, what about you? What role has a mentor played in your career?
Well, I'll start with way back in, no, my grandfather was my first mentor and taught me the value of hard work through yard work, which has actually stood me in really good stead throughout my life and career, because I really learned that it had to be done, it was going to be done, and I could choose to do it now or choose to do it later. So I chose the do it now philosophy, and I'm so happy about that because it really has made life easier, at least I think, at least for me. As far as the International Franchise Association, I joined in 2006, and I remember going to some of those early conventions and thinking, okay, you got yourself here, you're past that first hurdle, now what are you going to do with it? So I put myself out there. I made myself take advantage of the situation that I was in, and I would join roundtables where there were very high-level women executives leading a discussion, and I was literally a sponge with legs trying to learn everything I could about franchising. And these women, and men too, certainly there are a lot of wonderful men in the organization too, but they really share, and there's not a feeling that we're in competition and so we're only going to share a part of this information. No, they give you the whole story, everything, including their mistakes and their successes. So networking and working with some of those mentors led me to the Women's Franchise Committee. And there was a woman, Marianne O'Connell, with FranWise, who introduced me to the committee, put my name in for membership, and that was almost 6 years ago. So I worked my, I enjoyed a few years just on the committee, and then I became the co-chair, and last year and this year I'm the chair of the committee. And without that mentorship and that opportunity provided to me, I would never have done this.
Wow. That's a great story, and I think it really is indicative of mentorship, because our brand, Eric and I, we're franchisors, you know, emerging franchisors in a big world. And, you know, attending the IFA, I will say that I think that, the franchise world is very, very giving, very, very caring. Clarissa, you submitted a question to us that I loved, because you said, ask me this, what do you like about franchising? What is there not to like about franchising? But give us your perspective.
Oh, yeah. You know, coming with any lab test now, I started franchising back in 2007, and it was my first foray into franchising and absolutely fell in love with it from the franchisor perspective. And in many ways, the ways that we set up systems so that we can help our franchisees succeed and the processes and so forth is just really, really rewarding. And then seeing the difference we make in the economy, the number of jobs that we have, you know, brought to the economy. And then when I drive by in cities and I see, you know, talking about Debbie's brand with Nothing Bundt Cakes, and I see her, I don't even know if they're there, but I drive by one of her facilities and I get so enthused. Same thing when I drive by some of my facilities. You see the difference we're making in the economy and giving people the opportunity to own their own business. It's just fantastic. So.
That's a great story. And hey, Lauren, as a restaurant broker, as Robin and I, you know, we get people calling us all the time. Hey, I just opened my store 6 months ago. We're doing great. We're ready for franchising. What do I do? So, you know, we I wish I could have the right answer every time. Unfortunately, you know, we pass them along to the specialist. But, you know, you as a you know, a legal counsel and come from a very large, you know, food franchise company, you know, and that franchise a lot of concept. How do you know when somebody's ready to become a franchisor or even a franchisee for that perspective?
It's a great question, and I do get this a lot. And at the Fernandez Company, one of the things I like to focus on in a consulting or legal capacity is to sit down and ask the question, why? And I find that when you sit down and really get to know what people's goals are in growing their business, you really unfold their, not just their goals, their aspirations, and what their plan looks like. And sometimes in doing so, we discover that franchising really isn't the best option for them. And I'm very candid with my clients when they reach that conclusion. I want to still help them. And sometimes the answer is to take private capital and grow the business themselves, or do a licensing arrangement or some sort of joint venture. And really, when I sit down and work this over a two-day period with a lot of clients, where we start is the basic premise of what's your end game? Where would you like to be in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years? And it really helps people flesh out the reasons behind franchising. Now, as a personally, as a fan of the concept of franchising, you know, it often ends up working out that it's some mix of private capital and developing franchising. But what I always focus on, what is the long-term goal for growth? And often, when you really get down to it, how comfortable are you with giving up some level of control to have partners come in and help you run your business, whether as an actual partner or as a franchisee? And in many cases, some of these businesses are just not well documented yet either, and it's an exercise for clients to go back and start building out their case for why someone should buy a franchise from them and or why a bank should give them money or an investor should give them money for growth. I mean, you know, it's all the usual components that you would need to be able to really fully disclose someone if they're purchasing a franchise, or all the information a bank would ask for as well.
So I...
Lauren, this is Debbie, and I just want to jump in for a minute as a co-founder of a company who did franchise. And we franchised in 2006. So, Carissa, we were right in the same economic time frame. Mm-hmm. But we certainly ran into needing more money, sort of having a sheriff type of attitude about our franchisees who did buy into the brand. And then, of course, launching our brand during the worst economic downturn we'd ever experienced. So there were a lot of things we didn't know and understand about the time it would take just to get the manual ready and make sure you had a support structure, and what does training look like, and what are all the suppliers, where do you find all the suppliers for the items that you need to launch a franchise? Oh, and by the way, is your brand correct, or do you need to rebrand? And we ran into a lot of huge problems that we didn't anticipate. And fortunately, we got through all of them with a lot of hard work and so much time. I think that's the other thing. You don't realize how much time this is really going to take. But I used to work 12 to 14 hours a day trying to launch our franchise system and make sure that we had the sales to support it. And it was such a huge learning experience. We did bring a partner in 2010 who really has been the ultimate mentor, certainly in my career. And he taught us the filter of how does everything that you're doing and every decision you're making benefit the franchisee. And that really changed our world.
That is a great filter to apply to a business system. You know, how does that impact the franchisee? And I want to piggyback a little bit more onto the aspect of women in franchising and ask what each of you, and maybe Clarissa, you can start us off. Do you think that women bring a little bit different approach to leadership, and does that influence how they're able to grow a franchise?
I think that's a really good question. I think from my experience, we tend to be more collaborative. And also from my personal relationship with the franchisees, bringing a lot of empathy. So that in line with, as Debbie said, aligning our goals to make sure that everything we do, and I love the way she said that, putting it through the filter, how does this impact the franchisees? How does it help the franchisees? Is it going to help them grow their business? And I think from coming from a perspective of being a female executive, it's also great to also mentor other females coming into franchising. And I really try to spend as much time as I can in that arena.
So is that part of why this thought process of women in franchising and the Women's Franchise Network is really kind of growing some steam at the national and around the country as these networks are developed, Debbie? Do you think that's pulling?
I do think so. I think that, you know, as far as women in leadership, I think ability is innate, but skills can be learned and shared, and I think women are really good at that. I think we're great nurturers and listeners. We're good at the details, and as Clarissa said, we're compassionate and empathetic. And I think we're also willing to raise our hands when we don't know everything and let our team members in to fill those gaps. You know, Nothing Bundt Cakes is a very woman-focused brand. And we have a lot of couples who work in our brand. We love the owner-operator model, but many of the women have come to us without all of the skills. So I have been able to empathize with that because I certainly didn't come with every skill either when I helped launch our franchise system. So I think I've been able to walk in their shoes and figure out what it is that they need in order to be successful. And it has been so much fun to watch that, to be a part of that.
I think that's a great answer, and I appreciate your candor, because I think what's great is when people really speak from the heart and from their own experience, that brings so much. I think Eric wanted to weigh in with a question.
Yeah, Lauren, I was going to ask you, you know, talking about, you know, the perspective of women, and I would have to agree, because in our company, we do have women executives. And I totally agree with all your comments. Robin's a lot more detailed than I am. I am not, and I'm the guy that's going to run down the street and start taking hits and just like, well, maybe we should have raised our hand and ask more questions. But that's a good balance. But if we expand that more into, Lauren, even diversity, you work in a very large franchise group and now you're dealing with people. I mean, do you believe, we believe that the more diversity you can have, the broader, you know, your vision becomes and the stronger your system becomes. Do you agree with that? Is that a good perspective to have, to let in more diversity of all kinds into your systems?
Absolutely. You know, I think the more diverse
of a voice that you have around the table, the better the outcome is for the company. So that's true whether you're a franchisee, you're running a business on a day-to-day operation, or whether you're a franchisor. And in those cases, every entrepreneur really needs the rallying support of everyone's best thoughts and actions to really make a go of their business. And that includes having varied points of view. Otherwise, there's no point. You would just be listening to yourself all the time. And I think the really important point here is not just promoting, and this is one of the things I love about franchising, really, is that it's very entrepreneurial. It's not just promoting the aspirations of, you know, people who've come to this country and are building a new future for themselves who have immigrated here, or women. It really is for everybody. It provides equal opportunity to everybody who really wants to take advantage of, you know, I hate to be cliche here, but of that American dream, and really gives them a voice in how this economy is performing, gives them a place to really perform and to drive home value, not just for themselves, but for everyone else that they support in their business. So that's one of the things that I absolutely love about the industry of franchising as an opportunity, and the opportunities that it does create for both women and minorities.
And I'd like to tag on to that, because I think that's a real important point about franchising, is that with the diverse group of franchisees, diversity through millennials all the way to retirees from different ethnic backgrounds, different sexual orientation, you look at all of those different variables, and those insights from those franchisees that can provide how you can market to their community makes a huge difference that in and of itself by myself, I wouldn't really understand. So that's the collective value and power of a franchise system. You're not relying just on your own perspective. And I think that that's a lot of power when you talk about franchising.
I agree. Debbie, any thoughts quickly on this? Because we're going to go to a commercial in about a minute.
Well, sure. I think the franchisee-franchisor relationship is a very back-and-forth relationship. And sharing ideas and best practices and gaining some of those unique perspectives from the franchisees actually working in your industry, I think does nothing but make your franchise system better.
Oh, well, so we are getting some really great feedback and understanding
Absolutely.
About how women in particular in the Women's Franchise Network is developing a mentor-mentee situation and really helping to develop franchises across the country. This is Eric and Robin Gagnon, the Restaurant Brokers. Continue to listen in as we continue to speak with these experts about women in franchising as we attempt to satisfy your appetite for acquisition, beat the need for restaurant reality, and serve up a recipe for business success. We're going to take a very quick time out, and we'll be right back after this quick break with more information on this topic.
Have you ever played around with the idea of opening your own restaurant? With so many choices such as buying versus leasing, franchises versus independents, going big or going small, and of course, location, location, location. But where can you go just to get information? Well, whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to expand the restaurants you already have, We Sell Restaurants is here to help. We Sell Restaurants is the name of the largest restaurant brokerage firm in the South. Specializing in buying and selling restaurants, bars, and nightclubs, We Sell Restaurants is nationally known for their quality of service, unlimited resources, and industry leadership. Just visit www.wesellrestaurants.com. That's your first stop information resource. It's www.wesellrestaurants.com. In just a few clicks, your future is at your fingertips at www.wesellrestaurants.com.
Do you have an appetite for acquisition? Then buy the best-selling book, Appetite for Acquisition, full of tips on how to acquire a restaurant in a way that is less painful, more profitable, and delivers a better return on your investment. Named Best of 2012 by Small Business Book Awards, and with a 5-star rating on Amazon, the book by restaurant brokers Eric and Robin Gagnon has been described as the definitive guide for anyone looking to enter the restaurant industry. Available as a paperback or download to your Kindle, iPhone, or iPad, just $24.99 in paperback or $9.99 for a downloadable version. Click the link on the We Sell Restaurant website at WeSellRestaurants.com or visit your favorite bookstore today and you can read how to satisfy your appetite for acquisition. Visit WeSellRestaurants.com to get Appetite for Acquisition.
Get your copy of Appetite for Acquisition today. Find out more details at WeSellRestaurants.com.
The growth in restaurants is fueling an absolute explosion in the restaurant resale market. Franchise resales are projected to peak over the next 10 years, with franchise growth for new restaurants outpacing any other industry. The result? An unprecedented demand for restaurant brokers. Whether you have a passion for food, a background in restaurant ownership, a current real estate practice, or if you are just ready for a change, being a franchisee with We Sell Restaurants can help you align your skills into a successful restaurant brokerage practice. We Sell Restaurants has a process for franchising that starts with a powerhouse brand and ends with the most important element for success, you. We Sell Restaurants is the nation's only restaurant brokerage firm satisfying the requirements for the knowledge, the training, expertise, and systems to fill the growing need. We Sell Restaurants has more sales than any other restaurant broker in the U.S. For more information on becoming a We Sell Restaurants franchisee, call 1-888-814-8226 or visit WeSellRestaurants.com.
You're back on the air with the Restaurant Brokers, Eric and Robin Gagnon, and We Sell Restaurants. We Sell Restaurants is the industry leader in restaurants for sale, franchise restaurant resales, and site location for the food service industry. We are franchising our brand nationwide. You can learn more about this opportunity online at WeSellRestaurants.com. We are currently in North Carolina, South Carolina, Colorado, and, of course, our headquarters here in Georgia. So, Eric, today we have some great representatives from the Women's Franchise Network and the Women in Franchising group formed out of the International Franchise Association. You have some questions, don't you?
Yeah, we're getting some great information today, so hopefully every listener is taking some notes because this is very good information. And I have a question that I'd like to ask Lauren, because I asked you before about people ready to franchise, but I also see people, you know, they always want to, I want to sign a 10-store territory. You know, they've never been into business and they're starting. And, you know, we see also people as restaurant broker, they open 1-2 units and they call us and say, I got to sell this. I mean, the wheels are coming off after 1 unit. So what are some of the traps and you know, the pitfalls maybe that, you know, becoming a multi-unit franchisee would have?
It's a great question, and it's something that my clients face often. And, you know, really I see one big thing happening a lot, and it's feasible for a business owner to run 1 or 2 units and oversee both of them in a kind of managerial capacity. What's really tricky for a lot of people is to take a step back, put yourself in a leadership role, and really administer a second layer of management that goes over your multiple units. And it's usually around the third unit that you're stretched so far as an owner, you really can't do day-to-day blocking and tackling operations as well, as efficiently, I should say, and need to kind of step back and go up into a leadership role. So that first real overhead expense of hiring that manager or a general manager that can float over multiple units is really a critical decision to make for any business, and it's an investment back in the business. And I think sometimes people make the mistake, one, to either not hire that person quickly enough and they stretch themselves too far, maybe they feel like the wheels are coming off, as you said, or two, when they hire that person, they don't have a plan for rapid growth afterwards to really offset and spread the cost of that overhead on that one manager out over the additional revenue that you're getting from multiple units. So don't be shy, you know, to add that extra headcount and give that person a great base salary and maybe motivate them with some profit sharing over the multiple units that you're going to grow. And then get ready to grow. You know, really make that commitment to grow with that first person that you're hiring to help manage, and then get ready to go. And if I had to narrow it down to one real key issue, I think that's the biggest issue that people face when they're trying to grow and really become a successful multi-unit franchisee.
I love that answer. Clarissa, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that it's what we really work with our franchisees is to get them to work on their business, not in their business. And by that, we mean don't get lost in the details to the point where, like Lauren was saying, the wheels come off. Sometimes step back and really look at how you're going to take your business to the next level. You know, we can all make ourselves busy day in and day out and then realize that we really haven't looked at it from a strategic perspective.
Okay, and Debbie, do you have that same kind of point of view for your franchisees at Nothing Bundt Cakes?
Well, I will take a little bit of a different tack. You know, first of all, I think timing is really important. Franchisees come into a franchise system gung-ho, ready to go, open their first location, and then they're afraid of not having a territory available for growth. So they will sometimes choose to apply for growth before they're really ready. I think it's important that when a candidate comes in, they understand a franchisor's perspective on growth from within the system and when that might happen. I know for us, we had to develop a set of criteria that a franchisee needed to meet that we believed would set them up for success. So looking at the franchisor programs for that type of goal is really important before you ever join a system. And you do want to understand if the franchisor has a multi-unit support program so that you will put your best foot forward. Generally we see franchisees who open a second location, both businesses go down a bit because they really are learning that they've spread themselves thin and that it's much more difficult to run two than it is to run one. We see that their third one, if they are, as you said, Lauren, financed correctly, their third one becomes a little bit easier because they have stepped out and they're not working in their business, Clarissa. And then we do a lot to help them with their planning and making sure that they understand what kind of people they're going to need, because they're not going to do it without the right people.
So I think really some great advice shared today. And one thing I don't want to leave the show without asking is that I know that there are different events held at the local level in different markets all over the country. So what's an example of an event that might happen in the Atlanta marketplace, Clarissa? And then maybe, Debbie, you can weigh in and tell us something that where folks who are listening to the show today could go and find more information and actually participate in a Women's Franchise Network event.
Terrific. Yeah, in Atlanta, we have an event actually coming up on July 21st. It's in the evening from 5:30 to 7. It's going to be at the Georgia Pacific Building downtown. And we're really excited because we're going to have representatives from the Small Business Development Center come and talk about the resources that they can also provide to franchisees and franchisors who are looking at building their system. So we are just real excited about that. And for additional information, people can reach out to me directly at clarissa.bradstock@anylabtestnow.com.
Okay, so Debbie, all these different chapters of the Women's Franchise Network are having events all the time. Are those posted on franchise.org, the IFA website?
The IFA.org is where anyone can go for information about franchising.
Mm-hmm.
And we do try to do our best with utilizing social media and Twitter, and then, of course, the international website. I will tell you that around the country, there are things happening like women leaders in a community come to a meeting to talk to the group. Sometimes government officials are invited. A social media expert is attending a meeting so that you can really find out how you actually do the mechanics on your phone. Clarissa's meeting with the business development experts and the area experts is really a great idea. And then, of course, we work across the generations so that we have topics that work for millennials to boomers.
And I just want to weigh in because I'm part of the Women's Franchise Network group here in Atlanta, and say we have talked a lot about our gender in this show today, but men are also welcome to attend the event. So
I've been there.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today. This is Eric and Robin Gagnon, the Restaurant Brokers. You can find us online at WeSellRestaurants.com. Take a quick minute. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/WeSellRestaurants. Our Twitter handle is @SellRestaurants. We'll be right back after this very brief timeout.
Have you ever played around with the idea of opening your own restaurant? With so many choices, such as buying versus leasing, franchises versus independents, going big or going small, and of course, location, location, location. But where can you go just to get information? Well, whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to expand the restaurants you already have, We Sell Restaurants is here to help. We Sell Restaurants is the name of the largest restaurant brokerage firm in the South. Specializing in buying and selling restaurants, bars, and nightclubs, We Sell Restaurants is nationally known for their quality of service, unlimited resources, and industry leadership. Just visit www.wesellrestaurants.com. That's your first stop information resource. It's www.wesellrestaurants.com. In just a few clicks, your future is at your fingertips at www.wesellrestaurants.com.
What if there was one source for your local restaurant needs, like a trade newspaper for the food service industry in Georgia and Florida? What if I told you there is one? Today's Restaurant is your total marketing solution to sell a service or a product for a restaurant in Georgia and Florida. Today's Restaurant features a What's Going On column with news of the industry, an industry spotlight with stories about local companies serving the industry, and listings of restaurants that have just opened, are under construction, or under new management, a calendar of events of upcoming shows and educational meetings, a Facebook-like network of people in the industry, a food and beverage section, and a real estate section. To get your free subscription to Today's Restaurant delivered monthly to your mailbox, just go to trnusa.com. You can also read past issues in the archives section at trnusa.com. To learn more about Today's Restaurant, call Howard at 561-620-8888. That's 561-620-8888. Today's Restaurant, the food service industry's newspaper.
Are you the owner or looking to become the owner of a Georgia restaurant, bar, nightclub, food truck, brewery, or brew pub? If so, GeorgiaRestaurantLaw.com is the place for you. At GeorgiaRestaurantLaw.com, you can receive free information on the requirements for the food and beverage industry in Georgia. Plus, you can schedule a free in-office consultation with a Georgia restaurant attorney and receive access to dozens of flat-fee legal services that you need for your food and beverage business. Visit them online to schedule an initial consultation. GeorgiaRestaurantLaw.com.
Okay, you know the sound. It means we're back on the air, and we are now in our segment called Restaurant Reality. So today has been a really interesting show. We have been talking with people who serve on the national and Atlanta level of the Women's Franchise Network, the International Franchise Association Program, Women in Franchising. And you know what really struck me about today's show, Eric, and I think this is true, whether it's the women in franchising component of the IFA or anything related to franchising, it is a very giving industry. You can walk up to any CEO at any level at a national, international franchise association conference and just say, hey, you know, I'm starting out in franchising. I need some help with this or that. And you will find a mentor in the halls of a massive meeting. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a great place. You know, again, we talk about that in many of our shows, you know, to get connected. Networking is important. Get out of your walls. And the IFA is, you know, is a great place. And the diversity there is phenomenal. I mean, I remember Robin working in different industries and then before, you know, being a restaurant broker. And, you know, I would go along with her at some of the convention and it'd be, you know, 99.9% male and very few ladies. And you go to the IFA, you'll see all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life, from, you know, all over the world, from different religions, different background. I mean, the diversity is a very welcoming, just not you want to go walk to people, but it's welcoming to everybody. I mean, it is really still a strong foundation of the American dream.
And I think that is one piece, that whether you own a single unit and your dream is to go to 15 or whether you own three now and you're trying to figure out whether you're going to take that leap and go to 10, it is critical to kind of get outside yourself, begin to network in the industry, talk with other people. They've been there and they've done that. And I really appreciated something that Lauren said today, which is that she really sits a client down for a couple of days and asks them the tough questions. And sometimes that's all you need. It's not that you don't know the path within your own heart. It's a matter of whether you're able to answer the questions honestly. Where do I want to be in 3 years? Is this then the right path for me? Is it to franchise? Is it to license? Is it to simply continue to do what I'm doing as a company-owned business? There are a lot of paths to get to the same place, and which is the best and most suited to your skill set. And I also really appreciated today that Debbie said from Nothing Bundt Cakes, which is a very, very well-respected and very large franchise group at this time, started in 2006, and she said, we made every mistake in the book. But she wasn't afraid to go out and find the right partner and get the right help, and the business boomed after that.
Well, they talk about, you know, don't be afraid to raise your hand, ask questions, you know, bring people to give you a different point of view, you know, and also mentoring. I mean, at some point when you are successful, if you're out there, you know, you say, well, you know, I made it, I'm doing really well, you should become a mentor. I mean, you have to give back to your industry, you know, franchising gives back all the time. But even if you're independent, I mean, you go see somebody maybe, you know, a few miles down the road at a startup and help them out. Give back. It will come back to you. And also, you know, it's very important to help. I mean, this industry, the food industry is, in general, has to. It's a very giving industry. So you need to keep going and then become either you're a mentor or you become a mentee. But I think, you know, if you're young, go see some of the big guys. Don't be afraid to go to, if you're in Atlanta, we talk about Atlanta, go to Buckhead Live and go see Panos and say, you know, walk in his office. Say, sir, I'm young in this business. I'd like to know from you and see what happens. The worst case scenario, they're going to say no. But then you go to the next person. You go to Bob Amick at Concentrix. You know, go down the road. Find people to help you navigating your way through and then expedite your way to success.
Well, and I think we have talked about, what's it called in French, the stage or the internship that you do?
Stage.
Okay, you do that within a group. Now, that's on one side of the business, but go and approach someone, as Eric said, about interning on the business side of the business, because the largest failure that we see as restaurant brokers every single day, why do people fail? It's not the food. It's not the service. It's their basic business understanding. It's their understanding of how to run a business, how to not only create great food, but keep that within the cost components that you need to in order to be profitable. It's not putting everything you have into a space. It's finding a space so that those fixed costs can live within a profitability measure, 8 to 10% occupancy all in, so that you're not, you know, trying to figure out where that next dollar is going to come from and not overbuilding. So there are, you know, there obviously there are books and there's web places that you can go. WeSellRestaurants.com. We have tons and tons of articles. But just, you know, give somebody in the industry that you respect and trust a call and say, hey, will you talk to me? When you say to someone, will you help me? Those words, like, who says no to that? Can you help me? I mean, no matter how busy you are, people as a species, we're just very giving and caring. And when someone says, I need help, typically we all turn around and help.
Absolutely. And, you know, nothing that resonated with me today is, you know, we talk about diversity and it brings more perspective, a better understanding. And Clarissa even said, hey, it tells us insight how to market to different people to actually increase sales. Who does not want that? Who need that? You know, I've learned today, you know, we talk about women in franchising, but, you know, women empathize more. They're more they collaborate more together. If you have a restaurant, you have a pretty large kitchen, could you use more collaboration in your kitchen? I'm sure you can. So why not get also looking at your management team, and maybe if you're ready to make changes or you have opportunities to look, consider somebody with a different background maybe that you typically would look at to bring a different perspective and hopefully reach the next level and greater success by taking that diversity and putting it into implementing it and resulting to greater success.
But I will tell you, it is hard, because the piece that makes you great as an entrepreneur is that spirit within yourself where you say, I've got an idea, now I'm going to do this. And that all starts within yourself. So you're kind of fighting two sides of yourself, because on the one hand, when you say, I need help, that they're fearful of giving up control, losing your own control over the situation, over the idea. And so it's very difficult many times to actually face that challenge and say, yeah, in order to bust through and get to the next level, the reality is I have to say, Uncle, I need help to go up that mountain to the next space. But once you do it, it just takes you, you know, atmospherically above where you started.
Yeah, and Debbie said it right today as well. You know, she said, you know, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're a Martian, I don't care where you are, who you are. You're learning through hard work. It is hard work. No matter who you are, to achieve to the top, everybody has to put really hard work. So, hey, I learned that at a young age from my grandfather, and I decided to put hard work in, you know, at a younger time so I can get a better success in the future. Well, maybe you kind of coast along now, and you're like, okay, I'm ready to work hard. It is my time. So be prepared. It's not just having a mentor and somebody's going to open the doors for you. You're still going to have to do the work, and it's a very hard work. So please keep that in mind, but hard work will get you there. And I think, you know, be open. If you're an owner, or if you are a franchisor right now, or a franchisee, you're looking at things, you start looking at diversity. I think it will pay off for you and get you some, and, you know, becoming, helps you become more of a leader. We heard that a lot today. And working on your business versus being a working owner that works in the business every day.
I think that if you look at the trajectory of most businesses, they're not that straight, smooth line that goes up and to the right. It's more of a jump up, and then you hit a plateau. You're on a step, so you got to do something to break through, and then you jump up again, and then you come back to that plateau. And it's really that knowledge of when you get to that plateau and saying, okay, do I have the courage? Do I have the resources? Do I have the knowledge of the experience? Do I have the help to get to the next level?
And if you're a woman and you're ready to get into franchising, come to WeSellRestaurants.com. Look at our listings. Call Robin or even call me. I am part of Women in Franchising. I'm happy to do that, and we will help you.
And not only that, you know, we offer a very successful franchise. Our franchisees earned on average in their first year $132,400 in a service plan. So very inexpensive to get into, and a lot of support and collaboration and training along the way. This is Eric and Robin Gagnon. We're the Restaurant Brokers. Learn more about us on WeSellRestaurants.com.
The growth in restaurants is fueling an absolute explosion in the restaurant resale market. Franchise resales are projected to peak over the next 10 years, with franchise growth for new restaurants outpacing any other industry. The result? An unprecedented demand for restaurant brokers. Whether you have a passion for food, a background in restaurant ownership, a current real estate practice, or if you are just ready for a change, being a franchisee with WeSell Restaurants can help you align your skills into a successful restaurant brokerage practice. WeSell Restaurants has a process for franchising that starts with a powerhouse brand and ends with the most important element for success: you. WeSell Restaurants is the nation's only restaurant brokerage firm satisfying the requirements for the knowledge, the training, expertise, and systems to fill the growing need. WeSell Restaurants has more sales than any other restaurant broker in the U.S. For more information on becoming a WeSell Restaurants franchisee, call 1-888-814-8226 or visit WeSellRestaurants.com.
Do you have an appetite for acquisition? Then buy the best-selling book, Appetite for Acquisition, full of tips on how to acquire a restaurant in a way that is less painful, more profitable, and delivers a better return on your investment. Named Best of 2012 by Small Business Book Awards, and with a 5-star rating on Amazon, the book by restaurant brokers Eric and Robin Gagnon has been described as the definitive guide for anyone looking to enter the restaurant industry. Available as a paperback or download to your Kindle, iPhone, or iPad, just $24.99 in paperback or $9.99 for a downloadable version. Click the link on the WeSell Restaurant website at WeSellRestaurants.com or visit your favorite bookstore today and you can read how to satisfy your appetite for acquisition. Visit WeSellRestaurants.com to get Appetite for Acquisition.
Get your copy of Appetite for Acquisition today. Find out more details at WeSellRestaurants.com.